10 years ago, writer and talk show host Tavis Smiley first moderated the annual State of the Black Union, a day-long forum where educators, politicians, and religious leaders outlined what African Americans could do to advance their communities by setting in motion a national plan of action to address the most pressing issues. Here's Louis Farrakhan, leader of the Nation of Islam, speaking at the State of the Black Union back in 2005.
There has to be a covenant made between those of us who have been blessed with knowledge, blessed with wealth, blessed with opportunity to unite the best of our minds that will lift us and our people out of the condition that they're in.
The outcome of those conversations was a number one best-selling book published in 2006, The Covenant with Black America, a series of essays from notable contributors addressing 10 issues from crime reduction and financial well-being to health and education. So 10 years later, 8 years with an African-American president, how is the covenant doing? And how much of it did President Obama address last night? Tavis Smiley, host of the Tavis Smiley Show from Public Radio International, the PBS television program Tavis Smiley, has edited and compiled The Covenant with Black America 10 years later. Tavis says there's been movement, but if anything, the urgency is even greater today.
The triple threat is still facing our democracy: racism, poverty, and militarism. I'm so tired of Republican and Democrat using that line every year, the state of our union is strong. It's really not.
But your book, The Covenant with Black America, you had 10 covenants. Let me go down the 10 and give you my personal grade on not so much whether we achieved it or not, but whether you were right in nailing something that became an issue later on. Okay?
This I want to hear.
All right. Okay. Let's start with number one, securing the right to health care and well-being. Because of Obamacare, I give you a B on that, that new access to health care was given, but Obamacare is still a work in progress.
It is a work in progress. Many of those provisions have not kicked in as yet, as you know, so that black health has not been appreciably impacted at this point. In the years to come, I think it will be. At the moment, though, the impact hasn't really been felt, number one. And number two, the Obamacare legislation does nothing, says nothing about disparities in health, and those disparities are still so prevalent.
Let's move to number two, the system of public education in which children can succeed at high levels. A worthy goal, a lot of talk, I don't think a lot of achievement. I say a C, and it's not a grade for you, but it's a C in the sense that this wasn't really achieved.
Some progress has been made for those kids who are black who happen to have access to a charter school.
Charter school, right.
If they have access. But by and large, this debate about school choice still has not turned the corner yet to how we make all schools choice.
It's a zero-sum situation.
Exactly.
Where good over here subtracts from over here.
And what I argue in the text is that we have to find a way, John, to get to a place in this country where every child in America is guaranteed access to an equal high-quality education. We're not talking about judging outcomes, but the starting line ought to be the same. 50 states, 50 different ways of doing it. So that your educational opportunity really depends on where you're born. It's the luck of the draw. Or if you're in a city where they have good schools like New York City, you got to hope and pray that the ball bounces your way.
Number three, correcting the system of unequal justice, sentencing reform. I give you an A. You were dead on. You nailed it. It's definitely been an issue. There's definitely changes taking place. A lot more to be done. But this is absolutely part of the discussion in America today.
It's a mixed bag for me when I think about Eric Holder, the former attorney general. I love Eric Holder. And yet he and the Obama administration failed over 8 years bringing anybody who wrecked this country to justice. Wall Street steal. Nobody paid for that.
Yeah, I asked him about that last week.
You did? And what did he say? I'm curious.
He said, no, you know, we couldn't bring those prosecutions. We would have all made our careers if we could have, but we couldn't bring them.
I don't buy that. I just don't buy that. But so I feel let down by the fact that they didn't pursue that. But I'm heartened by the fact that on these sentencing issues, Holder gets a lot of credit, and the kinds of drug offenses they're going to prosecute into the future or not prosecute. So I think he gets great marks on that.
A for number four, fostering accountable community-centered policing. Now, people had to die to get this into the discussion, but this is absolutely what's going on right now, and you nailed it years ago.
How the historians, John, I'm curious as to your take on this. How do you think the historians are going to juxtapose that in the era of the first black president, black boys and black men were being shot and killed in the streets? How do they explain that in the era of the first black president, the bottom just fell out, that we couldn't make the distinction between community policing and policing the community?
Here's, I think, how historians will say.
Okay.
That the Obama presidency was the moment the myth of America died. And the legacy of lynching, the legacy of violence against black men and black bodies, as Ta-Nehisi Coates talks mm-hmm. about, is alive and well in the police, in the interactions between white America and black America, and there is an accounting that still has to happen.
I have a different read of that, fundamentally different read of how I think the historians are going to regard the Obama mm-hmm. era. That's not my read of it, but we'll come back to that a little bit later maybe.
All right. Yeah. Number five, ensuring broad access to affordable neighborhoods that connect to opportunity. B+, because Obama really took this on.
Well, I'm glad the issue was in the book. I'm glad it was a covenant. And again, with this issue and your analysis just now about the president, on a number of things we could say this, that he waited too late to jump on some of these things. I don't think the president ever believed that he had as much power as he really had.
All right, 6, 7, and 8, I say D, D, C. Claiming our democracy, D. Strengthening our rural roots, D. Nothing's happened there. Accessing good jobs, wealth, and economic prosperity. The economy has done better. I give it a C, but I don't think African Americans and people in poverty have benefited much.
Yeah, I mean, that's just mind-boggling to me. You got an uptick in a particular jobs report. Everybody else went up, and black folks still went down. Underemployment, unemployment, no longer looking for employment. It's just a bleak picture.
Number 9, assuring environmental justice for all. I give this a B because it's really a part of the conversation. Now, I don't think it's a part of the reality, but this is in a very different place in terms of what people are talking about in the neighborhoods mm-hmm. as well as in the sort of Brookings Institution think tanks.
Mm-hmm. It's a conversation now, and you hate to see it happen because of this, but when you have the water issue in Flint,
yep.
or you have Porter Ranch in California, I mean, yep. these things keep popping up all the time. The problem is, on the flip side, that the environmental racism hasn't been addressed at all.
Number 10, closing the racial digital divide. You probably know more about this than I do. On the one hand, LeBron has the most popular app, I think, in history. There's Wi-Fi all over in a lot of American cities, but yeah. I don't know.
The divide exists, but it was race and class-based. Now it's just class-based. It was race-based until phones, smartphones became affordable enough that every black person has a phone. Everybody got a phone.
Right.
But most black folks still cannot afford a computer and a printer in their home, and there ain't but so much you can do of your homework on a smartphone even. So the divide still exists, but it's more class-based now than race-based.
So what are you running for, Tavis?
Nothing. I relish the role that I have to be a part of the conversation. I love being a generous listener. I'm a curious person. And at the end of the day, the kind of truths that we're telling in this book are the kind of truths I attempt to tell in my work. You can't do that and run for office, man. You can't tell that kind of truth and get elected.
Tavis Smiley, it's great to have you here.
Thank you.
And the State of the Union is better with you around, but lots more work to do. That's your message always.
Appreciate it. Thank you, John.
Tavis Smiley is host of the Tavis Smiley Show from Public Radio International, the PBS television program by the same name, and has edited and compiled The Covenant with Black America 10 years later.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.